It's October 12th, 2015. It's Monday. And I must say that I've been inspired by speeches by Dane Wigginton of geoengineeringwatch.org, and also there's many other people who have inspired me. Alex Jones, to some extent, and a number of other people, but people who are speaking truth, who've got great conviction, and who are challenging the status quo. And I'm going to try to, rather than being a passive recipient, a passive witness or voyeur, really, of someone else's truth, which I've done. You know, I've done that for 20 years, listening to other people speak. And I suppose, because you know, I am a school teacher, and the instructional assistants that work with me told me today that I need to become a boss. We have a lousy principal. A long succession of lousy principles, and some good people need to step up. Some good people need to take a stand and take some responsibility and assume the burden of other people leaning on them. Because there are people that, you know, they need a crutch. They're lost. They're looking for a voice that has conviction, a point of view that's coherent. Someone who has not lost their drive, their intelligence, their passion. And because it has been this passion, this capacity to speak truth to power and to manifest dreams is being destroyed in us on purpose. And so those who can need to stand up, because to be honest, you know, I find Dane Wigginton kind of two-dimensional sometimes. You know, he's a bit too just uptight, really. Alex Jones gets into his anger rants, and honestly, you get to a certain level in your imbibing of Alex Jones, and it just doesn't feel real. He feels like a performer. Someone who is has an ulterior motive. Someone who is not wholly, fundamentally committed to doing the right thing. You just get that sense, and I haven't really called him to task on that, because there is a lot of good that arises from his activity, and I don't know to what extent those limitations that I see in him are due to other factors, you know, that are not really his fault. You know, That is, he may not be consciously misbehaving. But even now, as I'm trying to cohere and cast a vision, and I did, it did catch me for a while. I did catch it. I did feel it. I have a headache. It causes deep rumblings in me, a deep vibration, and I'm damaged. You know, and who is not? But with this path that I have chosen, this path that has been chosen for me, there's parts of my being that have been harmed, and that make it difficult for me to be a prophet, to channel truth. And all I can do is do my best. Yeah, and then my best will have to be good enough. And as I'm just thinking in the back of my head here, this is the first time I believe that I've tried to speak as a leader. And I think this is going to be my first foray into this. I think I'm going to start posting these communications. Maybe I'll get a YouTube account. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I will. In fact, I should, if that's the platform. That's the path, that's the process I need to follow, if that's the medium that can, by which I can gather or collect the greatest audience. Because we do need leaders right now. We definitely need leaders right now. And especially in my current circumstance where I'm living somewhere that is not where I am experiencing electromagnetic overcharge, because it's been now 21 years since I first began to perceive and magnify subtle energies around me, and have that be palpable and, you know, on the level of consciousness to me. But where I'm living, and most definitely where I work, are both in too close a proximity to cellular installations and other wireless sources of wireless interference, man-made. And so I am not well. And all I can do is the best I can do, and I may have to pause. But my plan, you know, given that Dane Wigington just saddles up, what's the word for it, when you just comes up to his microphone every Saturday morning and gives an hour extemporaneous speech. And I think that's phenomenal. I think it's great. And since he's been doing this, the postings at his website and the views at YouTube have exploded. I think he's getting some thousands of listens within hours now. And you know what? What the fuck? You know, I'd like to do that too. And I also feel that I have to do this for a whole lot of reasons. First of all, my consciousness, my intelligence, the depth of my perception is simply not recognized. It's just not. I don't know what to say about it. You know, a lot of people see some great stuff in me, but I've got some darkness in my family, and as some commentators have said, it is often one's own family where one is not recognized or and even disowned. And so, for example, this past weekend, I sent out an email or two to family members and friends. I've got a list of, 25 people at most, regarding who has been behind the terrorist organization ISIS or Islamic State that has been getting, you know, who knows how they've been getting their billions of dollars and their 20-ton, you know, 20 tons of ammunition dropped at, you know, wherever they go. You know, they're just loaded up, armed to the hilt. You know, this is not all by accident. Toppling regimes that are, it's not a matter of being hostile to the U.S. It's a matter of just laying down completely and allowing the U.S. and other Western interests do what they want with your nation's resources. But in any event, my father said that people like me should be muzzled, that people like me are seeking to destroy our way of government under the guise of liberty and freedom, and that he is a self-styled European socialist, communist, really. But these are people that are unwilling. My dad says very clearly, there are no conspiracies. No conspiracies. That governments are benign. That basically whatever the U.S. empire does is good. And so my dad participates in all sorts of homeland security events. You know, for example, this, forget what it was called. Yeah, that's some this summer, this past summer, up near Oakland, where it was the military, basically the military taking over large urban areas. And it was just, you know, a drill for that. Hang on. I'm fixing my headlamp here. I'm going to trail. Okay, there we go. Because the sun's going down. It's been down. And there are rattlesnakes around here. And even though I can see the road well enough to make my way, I'm not able to see it well enough to avoid stepping on a poisonous snake. And I've killed, I think, in excess of 50 rattlesnakes. in the 10 years, coming up on a 10 and a half years that I have lived in the state of California, or, you know, since returning from Hawaii. Not that I'm proud of that, but I just feel there's a, possibly a karmic spring that's being wound more tightly. I wonder whether it's possible to kill 50 rattlesnakes and not have one of them bite me. But, what you do is you see a rattlesnake that poses a danger, a snake that you've almost stepped on, and you step back 10 feet and you look around for a rock. You get a big rock and you throw it on its head. And the snakes generally, they would not be such easy targets if they weren't there rattling, rather ready to bite you. If they just quietly made their way off into the bushes without making quite such a scene, then they would probably be alive. But rattlesnakes are particularly territorial, mean, and aggressive. And in my case, or in the case of their dealing with human threats, their evolutionary adaptation of coiling and staying put and making a big commotion, it has not been to their advantage. The king snakes that I've seen around here, I saw one first time in 3 years in this location. I think I'm creating a safe place for king snakes to come. I'm just creating a void, a vacuum, and hopefully more king snakes will fill it as the rattlesnake population is diminished in this particular area. But and then my uncle also responded to this, basically this coherent piece regarding U.S. funding and training of ISIS forces that have been destroying Christian churches and, destroying any multi-ethnic, multicultural area. They have been performing a scorched earth action, arson against all peoples, but radical Islam, extreme Islamists, which is foreign to their traditional values. And my family is, most of them, you can show them videos and articles regarding the pre-planted, bombs in the three buildings that fell on 9/11. All the information from architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, and all sorts of other highly suspicious and highly, what's a word for it? Damaging points or missing data points and facts, omissions that lead, that the honest appraisal of leads one to conclude only that the official conspiracy theory regarding 9/11 put forth by the U.S. government is a fabrication. It's a lie. It's completely, completely misleading. But the reason why I want to take more of a stand, and I'm going to have to really measure this. I'm going to really think about it. But I think I'm going to post this on the web. I haven't done that before. You know, this kind of free-form monologue. But I feel that, you know, and then my mother as well. You know, these people get angry when, if the leaders that they see as they watch the news each evening or they listen to their national public radio, which is, you know, all full of mind control and just devilish propaganda. You know, if they're taught that 2 + 2 = 5, and I try to come up to them and, you know, I show them that, well, you got two marbles here and you got two marbles there, and I take their hand and I provide physical assistance to physically touch and count 1, 2, 3, 4, they have been wired to ignore. And it's a self-interested ignoring. It's a, the, because I've been around this. I'm trying to find a way to describe it, but it's like almost a root deceit that they engage that is tied in with their perceptions of self-interest and survival in a situation over which they have no control. Because if they were to acknowledge that 2 + 2 = 4, and that the president of the country is a liar and has misled the people, then that would cause that you to challenge every assumption you've got. And also, it would challenge you to, well, what are you going to do about it? And then you find that the whole edifice of mass media, of corporate control, of all these things, it's a rude awakening, and it's an awakening that most people are threatened by. It's a reality that they want nothing to do with, and they think that ignoring it, denying it, hiding from it, and punishing those who are trying to point you to the truth is a long-term survival strategy that will work. And for many people, in the short term, perhaps it does work. And as some have said, it's certainly a strategy that allows you to keep your paycheck, because the systems of governance, the systems of control and authority in this country and in the world are all, for the most part, or largely, predicated upon an assumption that the authority and the power that's been granted to these various agencies and groups is legitimate when it is not. The Federal Reserve Bank, the Central Intelligence Agency, and many, 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 many other creatures of conspiracy and sociopathic attempts at consolidating power, and successfully so, they have overreached. There may have been a limited need for some of their activities, but it could have been done in much more just and transparent a manner that did not subvert their charters or the citizens of this country. And so again, what are we going to do about it? That is the question. But I am so appalled at my family for being, and as I've told them, I have a big rift. I have some big rifts in my family between me and them, and I am seen as the immoderate one, the extreme one, the unreasonable one, the deluded one. And I'm tired of it. I'm frankly tired of it, to have these cowards, and I have called them cowards, moral cowards, people who cling, as has been described, to the black wings, the dark wings of illicit, illegitimate power, evil, really. They cling to them, thinking that, hey, I'm going to have a paycheck and they're going to, but has been described the night of the long knives. That is, the people who have done the dirty work for the bastards, the people who have enabled them, they too will be eaten. They too will be sacrificed, because this is not a project based on integrity. And I have to speak like this, or to this, because all day long I have looked at the skies above me to see nothing but trail upon trail of artificial cloud cover, of poisonous particulates where I'm stepping outside, and the air does not smell healthful. And now I've got a sore throat, yet I slept well last night, and I eat well. And yes, there's a brutal, awful cellular tower 1 mile away that gives me headaches, more than headaches. My whole body hurts on a cellular level. I'm being torn by this fucking thing all day long at work. But it is all worsened by the knowledge and the effects of every breath I take being another lungful of nano-sized heavy metals and sundry miscellaneous fucking unknown toxic pathogens. Toxic particles and pathogens that And we have no, I mean, we, hey, if we do not have sovereignty over the fucking air we breathe, then we have nothing at all. That's it. Nothing else matters. All this dead vegetation, this dying vegetation. I am making this recording in California, in the deserts of California. And we are in a, not just historic drought. You know, the worst this area has seen in perhaps 500 or maybe even 1,000 years. And it's due to the fact that, and please refer to geoengineeringwatch.org for a more authoritative explication of all this, but when these military tankers, of which they've ordered now another 200, close to 200 mid-air refueling tankers, so that it allows them to carry loads that are twice what a plane would normally hold. So I don't know, 400,000 gallons. I mean, who in the fuck knows is the capacity of these giant jets that are made to refuel other jets in midair. But we're being dumped. This shit is being dumped into our skies. And these small particulates, and they're called, I think it's like moisture rain cluster nuclei. Anyways, they're these small particles that just, you know, submicron sized, that moisture, very small amounts of moisture, cling to at 30,000 feet or whatever the elevation might be. But it causes an overabundance. It creates an overabundance of rain nuclei, such that it doesn't, because it's the moisture is overly dispersed, and there's too many nucleating, or, you know, these rain-making nuclei, too many of them, that they can't cluster. They're not allowed to cluster in such a way as to create rain, and so the net effect is that the moisture remains suspended in the air. And you can see these wavy lines high up in the sky, which are from HAARP or other electromagnetic signals, that the metal particles that are gathering up the moisture can be heated up, and then it rises and it's caught up in the Gulf, you know, the jet stream, and pushed somewhere else. And for whatever reason, California is being sacrificed. There's tremendous evidence of the non-stop spraying and the EMF that's being radiated out by these massive arrays in Alaska and elsewhere. It's causing there to be this massive dryness in this whole region. But that's not the only thing that's happening here in terms of the spraying. You know, there, what I wanted to, you know, I was going to concur or support what Dane had said this past Saturday. I think it was the 10th. And he describes himself being on a high bluff, a mountain near Redding, California, and there was a thick layer of fog or low cloud cover over all of Redding in that whole region. But where he had gotten to, or where he was above it. And what he saw, and this is early evening, I think, he saw some military tankers come and fly, not at 30,000 feet, you know, not high altitude spraying, but literally 5,000 feet up, you know, just some hundreds of feet above the low cloud or fog cover. And they were dumping massive amounts of something. And Dane mentioned that about 50% of the people in Redding are chronically ill with something. And whatever this jet was doing, it was not for stratospheric radiation management, SRM, where these are supposed to, you know, are presumably or are said to be, these particulates are, we're being told, are there to diffract, reflect the sun, incoming solar radiation, the incoming sun. But here's the problem with this. If that's what they're doing, is protect us from the sun, then why is this happening an hour after sundown? And at an elevation where none of this will be there in the morning, it's all going straight to the ground. There are other agendas, other purposes, other programs that are integrated with all this. And this is a massive, massive military operation that, you know, just as people who could, you know, look at Building 7, look at the Twin Towers, to say that those just fell down due to some office fire, as was said about, you know, the ground level chairs and tables burning on the first floor in Building 7. What a disgrace. What an assault on reason. Just to have the entire edifice of academia and media and the politicians, have everyone say, hey, that's nothing suspicious, nothing unusual about that. And then people looking up in the sky and seeing all this, all these artificial, all this fake cloud cover we're given. That's happening before our own very eyes. And that's what's so dangerous, is that the lie is so great. It is so overwhelmingly monolithic. There's just, everything is just in support of the lie. Every paycheck, every thesis, every commercial, every political, every governmental policy and regulation, it is all there to defend and to further the lie. And I can't stand it. I find it disgusting. It is disgusting. Fucking disgusting. It's disheartening. That's another reason, that's really why I'm here, is I'm sensing the lie being so great, and my voice being so muted, and my family just is closing ranks. These are good people. But I'm wondering, are they on the payroll of the Department of Homeland Security? Apparently, millions of people are. And then there are, you know, 15,000 DHS employees making close to $200,000 a year. You know, who the fuck are they? Where's all that money coming from? You know, let's turn off the money spigots. This is money we don't have for a cause we can't support. So yeah, people can't even, they see a cloud, they see the sky black, darkened by trails, and I'm in a desert where it should be blue skies all the time, and we always have these, now it is rare to have a blue sky, and people just blithely go, I mean, that's what I can't take. They're going about their lives as if none of this merits discussion, merits scrutiny, merits a rebuttal, a defense, and that'll be our undoing. We are being led to the slaughter. If it's just an ongoing slow kill, I don't know. But Corey, but Dane Wigington felt that, you know what? Shit is being sprayed on us, and at any moment, at any time, the people in charge of these programs could decide to increase the toxicity of the spraying of the particulate matter exponentially to kill us. Be so easy. And he described, and I'm going to get to a couple experiences of my own that corroborate it. He described hiking up Mount Shasta and there was cloud cover and there was some snow coming down. But in the course of I don't know if he said it was a few hours of hiking, but the numbers here are approximate based on my faulty memory of his monologue this past Saturday. But let's just say that 8 of the 12 people hiking in the course of 15 minutes all began to have nosebleeds. And at the same time, there was an unceasing parade of low-flying aircraft heard directly above the cloud cover. Just plane after plane after plane after plane. The conclusion is that shit was being dumped. Major toxic material was being rained upon them, causing the nosebleeds. And I know that there have been a few times, but I'll just say this one, I think it was back in August, we had the first minor rainstorm in a year, you know, rare up here in this desert area, and unlike thunderstorms, where you have these tall cumulus thunderclouds, just these giant billowing masses of beauty, dumping rain underneath them. And then, yeah, these larger spaces of blue in between them. It was this ugly, thin haze above us with some kind of weird, wispy, stringy clouds underneath it. And so it was just a fake canopy of gray, light gray. And they'd been flying a lot of the day, the planes, but it started to rain, and as it was raining up here, I heard even more aircraft, and they were not high above me, and the rain felt gross, and I fell ill that night and ill the next day because I was rained on. And what's so diabolical about this is that you're bringing vital nutrition, a vital sustenance to a starving, parched area, expansive life, life that is on the edge of dying. And you finally give them that drink that all the wildlife and plant life and reptile life and animal life has been patiently awaiting for a year. And in that inch of rain that came here, or whatever it was, our tax dollars, the Federal Reserve's money printing, the evil machinations of our controllers, these so-called elite, they had to mix that water, spike it with poison. And I don't know what that was. I don't know what that was. But Dane Wigington talks about how all these heavy metals that are present in the soil cause an enormous drop-off in the uptake of nutrients from the soil for the plant. Of course, the microfauna perish by 90% or more, so all these beneficial bacteria that are normally present in the soil and present in human beings, they are killed by all this heavy metal, all these toxins. In any event, all this rain did not satisfy the thirst, and it was a poisonous brew. And it was just pure fucking evil to spike that rain with material that would be even more damaging to the plant life around here and the other creatures. So, let me stop there for now. It's been 48 minutes. And eventually, this is my first foray into this. I'll be addressing spiritual, my point of view spiritually. Because I'm certainly not able to produce much with my writing there at my house, which is a mile away, well, quarter mile away from the nearest tower. Well, it's not a strong tower. Any tower is a bad tower. And a whole bunch of others that are within a mile or two. I'd say probably six of them, if not eight. So I'll see what I can do here and hopefully learn to sort of what you call, refine my shtick, get it so I'm more into a rhythm, and that people come to, I would like to have an audience. I would like to find some hope in all this and not just be someone who is lamenting the immediacy of his demise, There's a reason for us to fight till our last breath. Hope is not, optimism is not required. While we are all alive and agents of divinity, reflections of divinity, we have an obligation. We have a moral duty to do the right thing, regardless of what may come of it. And so I am speaking my truth here tonight and will continue to do so in the coming days, months, and years, God willing. Over and out. Amen.